do you trust when the world is not as it seems? Trust no one.
You going to shoot me?
Maybe.
Oh, probably. But not right now.
Welcome, folks, to a brand new review episode of the best damn pop culture podcast you ever heard in your motherfucking life. We are Words
from
Blurds. I'm JT, the other echo of Blurds. You hear is Adu. What's going on, Adu? We're back for a new episode.
This episode, we're going to be talking about the second episode of Marvel's Secret Invasion. And I think people are really liking the show, as far as I can tell, you know, just from the people I follow on social media. It seems like it's getting a positive reception.
It's getting positive reception, but it is not getting positive numbers. This, I believe, is the second least viewed Marvel or MCU show to date.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised because this show did not have much marketing at all. So I'm not surprised by that. Because again, Samuel Jackson, Don Cheadle, those are big names. You got Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones. These are big names. These are big players. And so the fact that this is the second, like, least viewed MCU show on Disney Plus is baffling to me. But yeah, also, I get it.
That's crazy. Because, like, this quality-wise, this has got to be at least the second best Marvel show right now, because it's,
you know,
it's
so far
really good.
Yeah, I mean, so far, and I know this show has like Skrulls in it, and the whole like concept of like people taking other aliens taking the identities of humans. But so far, this show seems like the most grounded, like not even next to. I would say even more grounded than Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, to an extent, because like Falcon and Winter Soldier, you still got someone running around with a robot arm, I guess, and, you know, flying and whatnot. But
actually, MCU stuff is fantastical. But I'm saying, yeah, like, this to me is like maybe the grittiest MCU property probably since Winter Soldier.
Oh yeah, like niggas get shot in this show. Like, yeah, so this is, it's pretty hard. Honestly, it's to the point where if Marvel wanted to, I think they could do a Punisher show, or that Daredevil show they got coming up. It might live up to the Netflix version if they keep the same
tone.
Not
from what I'm hearing.
Oh, what are you hearing?
I mean, I'm hearing that the people who are behind the scenes of the Netflix show, like the stunt crew and all the people, I hear they're saying that they refuse to bring them back, and so that already is putting this like at a slightly different level. And from what I think the head stunt coordinator of the Daredevil Netflix show, and he's like, from what he was told, they're going in a completely different direction that's gonna like make whatever they're doing now look like trash compared to what was done on Netflix.
Oh, that's kind of
disappointing. I mean, but that's somebody who doesn't have a job. So obviously, you got to take it with a grain of salt.
I mean, I guess. Well, I guess we'll see whenever it comes out. Back to Secret Invasion.
Of
course, you're going to say how you feel about it, but I like the second episode.
I like it too.
Yeah, it's really building on what was established so far in the first episode. It picks up right after the big explosion in Russia. So, you know, we see Fury get, you know, picked up by what we thought was like maybe some other spy or something. It was actually Talos. On that scene, was it funny to you, like, how easily Talos was just able to, like, yoke up Fury like that? Like, I don't know, that felt a little too easy. Like, Fury was just like, hey, what you doing? Get off me. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's, you know, old man Fury. Maybe he's putting on an act again. But I felt like, or like, was Fury going along with it? Like, did he know that was Talos?
I'm sure he knew.
Yeah, I don't know. It looked a little funny to me. But that leads to this really great scene between Talos and Fury very early on in the episode too, where like Fury is talking to him about his like origins in Alabama, and you know, how he had this little game he would play with his mom called Tell Me Something I Don't Know, and it's through this game. And I love the way Fury set that up, though, by the way. I think we said this last episode, this is the blackest they've ever let Nick Fury be in the MCU.
Yeah,
like he's very black. He's talking about growing up in Alabama and eating fried chicken and what. Like this is black as hell, and I love it.
But it's realistic, you know. Yeah, there are people who are high in government who have that similar background.
How do you feel about that? By the way,
I'm two-sided coin on it. The one side is I love it because it makes Fury a little more relatable. It makes Fury like a human being with origins, with pathos, not this necessarily hyped up super spy that the MCU has kind of built him out to be. But then the other side is, does it take away his edge? Does it take away that air of mystique and badassery? I don't know. That's why I'm a two-sided coin of it on the subject.
You already got every other character calling him old, like constantly. I mean, scene.
Yeah. I mean, Samuel Jackson's definitely like 70 something, so he is old as shit. I mean, although I'm sure people often say Samuel doesn't even look 70. You motherfuckers are blind. That's what I say. He walks with a limp. He walks like an old pimp.
If I were to guess Sam Jackson's age off of the picture, I would probably say like 60.
I mean, that's not too far off from 70. He's like 72, I think.
Yeah, but I think for 72, the dude looks good for his age. You know.
Oh, absolutely.
There's 72.
He's also a movie star.
Well,
he's also a movie star that has like expensive ass skin routines, makeup. Yeah. Literally the beginning of this show, he's the CGI version of himself. So
yeah, that's true. Oh, I almost forgot about that part too. Actually, since you mentioned it, let's get into it. Did you like that little flashback? What was it, 92?
92 Fury?
Or 95? It was 90s. But
Pre-Biggie's death. It was pre-Biggie being shot.
Yeah, and I we find out more about his background with Gravik, his background with Gravik and how he met him. So it does kind of kill our theory that Gravik is secretly Fury's son.
Clearly, I don't think it does.
I would like to hear this explanation because, like, he as a teenager. So
no, for sure, but I think that. Obviously, and we see Fury has another Skrull connection that we'll talk about a little later. But the fact that that same Skrull connection introduces Gravik to Fury, I'm thinking that maybe somehow they kind of adopt him unofficially somehow. I mean, he's a kid without parents. He literally watched his parents die.
That is not the same thing.
That is the same thing.
No, it is not. It's different.
What I'm hearing you say, and this is a controversial statement, is that if you adopt a kid, that means you're not their parent. Is that what you're saying?
No, that is not what you're saying.
That's what it sounds like. It sounds like you're saying that people who adopt kids and teenagers aren't real parents. Is that what you're saying, Adu?
That is
that what you're saying, Adu?
Not what I'm saying. And you're just trying to be right.
You?
Yes. You're just trying to be right, and it's fine. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, narrative-wise, I don't think...
Okay, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Narrative... What? Now, how the hell... I didn't even know that's something MTG thought. That's news to me, but... I feel like Gravik being, like, half-human, half-Skrull would, like... add more to the whole, like,
I mean, absolutely would have added. It would have added more depth to the connection. I
get what I'm saying. Yeah, that's all I'm saying. As far as like narrative wise, it's not really the same. But you know, I think we just gotta accept we were half wrong on this one because we were right about something, just not this thing. But yeah,
very true.
Did you think like the flashback added anything to the show at all, or like did you like what they showed, or seeing CG Young Fury again?
I mean, firstly, CG Young Fury did. I mean, so I just saw Indiana Jones yesterday, and
sorry about that. From what I hear, anyway.
Okay, whatever. you don't have to apologize. It was a similar situation that I saw with de-aged Harrison Ford, but on this side, it seems as though the de-age process was rushed because it seems like the frame rate with the old CGI face doesn't match with what's going on around them.
Rushed in Secret Invasion or rushed in Indiana Jones?
I'm saying what I saw in Indiana Jones, I also saw in Secret Invasion.
Oh, so you saw it in both. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. It just looks like whenever there's movement, it looks like there's a slight delay when the head moves. Kind of, yeah.
I didn't move along
with the actual actor's motions. It's very brief. It's like maybe a couple milliseconds, but I notice it and I'm like, and also it seems to me that they don't make the neck any smaller to match the face. So I'm like, damn, that motherfucker got a big ass neck. But
necks might be hard to do. I don't know.
But also it's like you de-age the older person. Okay, great. But that 70-year-old gruff is still coming out of their voice. This is like 30 years ago. They might have had a little more prep in the cadence of their voice. But other than that, this scene didn't do a whole lot but establish, you know, Gravik's origin in like a minute or two and how he may be connected to Fury down the line.
Yeah. And I mean, since we're talking about effects and things looking weird, I meant to bring this up last episode, but I forgot to. The controversial intro for Secret Invasion, which, if you don't know, it's controversial because it was created in part with AI art, which is funny because when I first saw the intro, I was immediately like, oh, this kind of looks like those weird AI commercials that people be posting on Twitter. And then I found out later, oh, that's because it was made with AI. So, you know, some people have kind of had issues with it because, you know, AI, of course, AI art is kind of it's a controversial thing because people, me included, don't want it to replace human artists. So I was curious how you felt about it because I was kind of like, I found out later on that it wasn't 100% AI art. It was at least according to, you know, Disney. So, you know, if you want to believe them or not. Or not even according to Disney, it was according to like someone behind the show. It was created with artists, but they used AI as like a tool to create the intro. And I feel like the intro fits the show well. It's very unsettling. Like, it's very weird. It's ugly.
I think
it's kind of supposed to, you know, with the theme of the show.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that with the theme of the show, it speaks to, you know, AI, artificial, whatever, created this art. And now we have Skrulls artificially making themselves human. So, like you said, it definitely fits in theme with the show. At first, when I didn't know it was used by actual artists, I was a little like, okay, here we go. This is what the fuck writers and actors are talking about. AI, computer-generated shit, is really starting to take over. I guess is what we're seeing, but I'm slightly more at ease that artists used the AI as a tool as opposed to AI just being the tool that was used by like a producer or something. I don't fucking know. Yeah. It's weird as well, though. It's super weird, but you're right. It does match.
Yeah, very much, you know, that uncanny valley, you know, that people like talking about. It's kind of unpleasant to look at, but in a good way, if that makes any sense. But yeah, I don't know. I still kind of feel about it because, you know, use big corporations like Disney use AI art just a little bit. You never know where it might go, you know. I don't know. I feel kind of weird about it. But yeah, back to that conversation that Talos and Nick were having in that train. We find out from that conversation, and this kind of goes back to what I said about maybe, just maybe, having a bunch of shape-shifting aliens hide out on Earth might, at least in secret, might not have been the best idea. Sometime during the blip, you know, the Skrulls were being killed all over the universe and hunted down. So Talos was like, shit, man, I gotta help my people out. So he brought millions more Skrulls to Earth. And Nick, of course, finding that out, goes off the fucking wall. He's like, nigga, what? You brought how many Skrulls while I was gone? So, you know, do you think Nick is right to be upset? Or do you think that Talos did the right thing, bringing more of his people onto Earth?
I think, here we go, another two-sided coin. I 100% agree with Talos' motivations. His people have no home. What people he does know are sheltered on Earth. So there would at least be an established community for them to join. Much like Chinese immigrants, you know how they have... I was actually watching a video on Vlad TV. Some Chinese gangster came from China as a 14-year-old boy. Anyway, when you come to America from China, and this is in New York, there's something called the Association. They are literally put in place by some Chinese government, some non-official Chinese people, to just make you at home, find you a job, make sure you fit in, make sure you have a place to stay, food to eat, a community. And so I understand that side of it from Talos' perspective, but also I also understand where Fury is coming from, because nigga, what the fuck? We are billions of people, millions of you coming to our planet without authorization. Okay, firstly, hundreds of thousands of you being on our planet is crazy, but you inviting the millions that you know to just be on Earth. And I'm sure at some point he probably knew that they were infiltrating government, because it's no way that the people who are sitting at this council that we see later in the episode just got in within the last 5 years.
I would be very surprised if Talos didn't know about that. So yeah, that's exactly. Definitely that's a conversation that needs to be had too whenever Nick finds out about that. Also, did you notice that one guy, that actor, he was in what was that Adam Sandler golf movie?
Oh yeah, I know who you're talking about. I have it up. He was in Happy Gilmore, and you're talking Happy about Christopher Gilmore, McDonald.
Why do they always have my man playing an asshole, bro? Every single movie and show he's in, he's always playing an asshole. That's crazy.
I mean, he didn't do anything. I mean, he was
I think you could tell he was supposed to be like a conservative talking head. Like, you could kind of tell from like the scene they were showing him on when he was on the news channel.
I mean, that's just how he looks in his day-to-day life.
He just looks like a Fox News host.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, he belongs on what is the news now? What is the fuck is it called? The new news network that Trump is on all the time?
One of
actually, I don't want to know. You know what? I don't even want to speak about it. Baloney. Anyway, he looks like he belongs on Fox News. Like he was Tucker Carlson's dad. I don't know.
That's great. Yeah, it's just funny to me because they all like everything he's in, they got him playing some kind of asshole every time. But yeah. But yeah, man, yeah, it's not great, you know. It's the shape-shifting part. And honestly, again, Fury brought up a great point when he was like, nigga, humans can't even get along. Bruh, like, they hate people that look like me. You think they're gonna be cool with y'all who not only are, like, green and, I don't think they're scaly, green and, like, elf ears, but can shape-shift into other people? And have already infiltrated our government. Like, it's not a great situation. At this point, even if they like pull the lid off the scroll thing, like, niggas are not gonna fuck with them at all. They've already infiltrated major seats of government and shit. So yeah, it's not a great look for the scrolls right now.
No, it is not. No, it is not. Jesus.
Can you imagine? I'm very, very interested in where this is gonna go, because you know, once they established like the council was like in important positions in the world, like on NATO and shit, you know. That's I would love to, I really want to know where this is going, because that's serious, man. Meanwhile, the Freedom Fighters, Gravix team. Well, are they Freedom Fighters? I guess not really Freedom. They're free. I don't know. Whatever you want to call them. Rebels. We'll go with Rebels. You know, they're, you know, kind of taking a little bit of a victory lap after their big explosion in Russia. And, you know, Gravix goes up to the council, you know. He's like, hey, y'all seen what I did in Russia? All right, Fury made us
a promise. We need to take this shit global.
Global. Fury made us a promise. He hasn't kept up his end. We need a planet. I'm thinking, yo, we're already here. We might as well just take this one, you know? I'm just saying, it's kind of a, it's going to happen or it's not going to happen. And, you know, basically, he gets one of them to get the whole council to join his team. And so Gravix, the new war general of the Skrulls, which is only going to make things worse as far as the tensions between Skrulls and humans. Well, humans don't know it's the Skrulls yet, but yeah. And Gravix definitely planning to do a lot more unnatural disasters and, you know, just increasing the hostilities between America and Russia. So that's definitely not going anywhere good. But I want to know, and I know you're usually pretty eagle-eyed when it comes to stuff like this. When Khaleesi, I hate that, I always remember as Khaleesi. When Khaleesi was on the computer, right, and you saw the little things, like you saw a Groot, and one of the things was one of Thanos's henchmen, and like two other things. I'm curious, like, you noticed that, right?
I did. I knew there was some Easter egg on it. I never went back to look, though.
And then later on, we get confirmation that Gravix is working on making Skrulls stronger. So,
oh, you know what that means.
Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking, are we about to get a Super Skrull?
That's exactly what I thought. What do you need to have all these people on, all these weird other aliens on file for? I mean, unless you are the U.S. government, you don't. I think, well, you're right. They're working on...
They're working on some type of Super Skrull. They're gene splicing.
Like, even when, as you call her, Khaleesi, or as the show calls her, Gaia, is on the computer, we see some, like, DNA sequencing on the computer. So that just tells me, yeah, something is definitely going to go down with some DNA being altered with the Skrulls. I mean, they already, their DNA can already alter to the molecular level to match the original person, but I think there's something deeper going on, and I do think it's the beginning of Super Skrull. After all, Super Skrull is one of the largest nemesis of who? Of what superhero family that has a movie coming out in 2025?
That would be the Fantastic Four.
That would be the motherfucking Fantastic Four, my good sir. So it just seems like it's, I wouldn't necessarily say this is going to, Super Skrull is going to be in their movie, but at some point, it's leading down that line.
That would be really cool to see Fantastic Four versus Super Skrull on the big scene, on the big screen.
But honestly, to me, Super Skrull seems like a foot soldier.
Yeah, kind of.
Like for a grander scheme, like a Kang War or something. He seems like he would be like, you know, he would take them on and there'd be other people. So
yeah,
that's kind of what I see in the future.
It's not usually like a big bad or anything like that, but I mean, for the Fantastic Four, he's pretty serious because he's got all the, in the comics anyway, he's got all the powers of the Fantastic Four. So obviously that's going to be, if this is even where it's going to be changed slightly because the F4 haven't been established yet, but yeah. So if we do get that, that'd be pretty cool to see. Next we catch up with Rhodey. And, you know, he's busy doing cleanup for everything that went down in Russia. And that leads to a very interesting scene between Rhodey and Fury. And I think this scene has been what everyone online has been talking about, really, when it comes to this show. Basically,
we got Coon Rhodey.
God.
Sorry.
Sorry. Sorry, everybody. Sorry.
I was trying to do some build up, and I was like, you just straight up just boom, just straight up said it. I was trying, you know, trying to be subtle with it, man. I'm like, well,
there is no subtlety in coonery.
I said it again. He was tap dancing a little bit, you know. It felt, you know, I don't know. I usually like Rhodey. I don't know, man, because like he was definitely Mr. He Gets It for the U.S. government towards Fury in this scene, because he was reading him the riot act. He was talking about, oh, Fury was like, they sent you to fire me, and Rhodey was like, no, I volunteered. Like, what the hell is that, man? You wanted to fire him? He called Nick mediocre? I'm like, what is going on here? This is crazy. Like,
I'm telling you what's going on here. Can I tell you what's going on?
I know you think he's a Skrull, but
he's a Skrull, god damn it.
That I would say that counters that is, wouldn't Nick know he's a Skrull? Like, they clearly established that Nick has spent so much time around them that he can pretty much tell when someone's a Skrull. He immediately knew that Rhodey's security team were Skrulls.
No, he didn't. No,
yes, he didn't. He did.
He asked, what do you know? What do you know about them?
He only asked that because he knew they were Skrulls. And then he was like, did you know that they can shapeshift? Like, he knew before he said that. You can see the look on his face. Look on his face. He was like, oh, this nigga's a Skrull. So I don't think that Rhodey.
But also, Skrulls are intended to be actors. They are the best actors.
But he knew just from looking at the guy. It's not like the guy was talking to him.
Yeah, but guess what? When you have a semi-personal relationship, even though we don't know what, like we said in the last review, we've never really known them to work together. But if you have a semi-personal relationship with somebody, what you assume, like what you know professionally about people outside of those you know interpersonally will cloud your judgment. So it very well could be that his judgment is clouded because he thinks he's got an ally and Rhodey's in a high up place. So, of course, like, let me just reach out to my man. Because, I mean, obviously, right? Obviously, there are public figures in this world on, like, the grand stage that are in NATO, that are, like we said, that are the heads of governments that I'm pretty sure Fury probably does not know about, right? He would have to know if he had this super sense about them. And again,
I mean, like, bro, how often is Fury talking to these people? I don't think there's really any time. He doesn't need to talk to them.
Literally, old people watch the news. And if they're trying to make Fury sound like he's old as dirt, I know he's got to stay up with current news at least.
Okay, we can't make assumptions off of stuff that they're not showing us. Like, if Fury was watching TV and then he saw that NATO guy on TV, all right, maybe he would be able to tell he's a Skrull, but they haven't shown us him doing that. So we can't just assume.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to assume he's pitch perfect at it either.
I don't know, man. It seemed like he immediately was like, oh, this guy's a Skrull. So I feel like he might be able to tell, even more so talking to Rhodey. But and also, would Nick Fury's judgment be that cloudy? This is Nick Fury we're talking about. This is, I'm Nick Fury. Even when I'm out, I'm in Nick Fury. I don't know if his judgment would be that cloudy.
Listen, just because...
Were they even friends like that?
Just because an old dog knows it's on its way out and it barks doesn't mean it's got the bite it had when it was a two-year-old.
I don't know, man. And I just...
I mean, he got Maria killed, didn't he?
Well, see, now that's just not fair.
That's not fair, is it?
No,
that's
not
fair, is it?
No, that's not fair. He
didn't set up for a trap.
Okay, so are you on Rhodey's side? Because that's what it's sounding like to me.
No, I'm not on Rhodey's side. I'm saying
you on Mr. War tap dancer.
Oh, here
that's
we
what
go.
Side you're on right now. Because that's what
I'm on his side.
It sounds like you're agreeing with Rhodey that Nick Fury is quote unquote mediocre.
No, I would like never call Nick Fury mediocre. I'm just saying he's yet to prove that he still has it in him.
But I know he's capable of it. So I'm not going to write him off like Rhodey. I'm not going to say, okay, Nick, you're fired. I'm not the Donald Trump of firing Nick Fury. No, thank you.
All right, I don't know. I was just that's what it sounded like to me. Yeah. So Nick obviously takes that to heart because it's like, damn, this I got fired by fucking War Machine, man. We ain't even seen this nigga suit up in like years, and I got fired by War Machine. That's crazy. Yeah, they're gonna have to do some serious character rehab on him because I don't know. He's bugging right now.
But I think he's a Skrull. I'm telling you.
I don't buy it. Only because Nick didn't immediately. I'll say this. If he is, then they got to explain how Nick didn't know. Because very clearly they established Nick knows when someone is a Skrull. But yeah, later on, we see that British lady whose name I cannot for the life of me remember. So do you remember her name? Because I was just going to say.
Yes, Sonya.
Sonya. They caught one of the Skrulls from the Russia attack. So Sonya, who's kind of she's cold. she is cold as hell. Like she just straight up cut dude's finger off.
They said when they casted Olivia Colman for this role that she was the more straight edged UK version of Nick Fury, is what I read. So her doing what she did to get the information she needed out of that scroll, it tracks with what, you know, what I read. At least she definitely is showing her her willingness to go the extra mile.
Yeah, she definitely is not one to mess around. I mean, like I said earlier, she started with cutting a finger off and then eventually just went straight to injecting something into that guy. I don't even know what
the first time. Is the first time we see a disembowelment in the MCU? No. Thanos had his head chopped off. Never mind.
Yeah. It was pretty gruesome. but yeah, then he sung, and I can't even blame him because whatever that stuff was, it was gnarly. But you know how it is.
Yeah, have my boy like burning from the inside out.
You can't, sometimes even if you're burning, you can't talk. So, you know, grab a cat and take him out.
Hopefully, fellas, if you burning, let your lady know at least. You can talk about that.
See, why take it there? You know what I mean? Why?
Uso?
I don't think it's that type of burning, dog. But get tested, folks. But yeah, I mean, you threw me all the way off. What was I even about? Do you think Gravik was? Do you think Gravik was right for taking his boy out?
Yes, because he knew that as soon as their stash house was raided, he knew that it was the guy that was just being fucking interrogated. So he had to make sure, you know, as a leader, especially as a leader of a coup, sometimes you have to cut loose ties. Is it morally correct? No, absolutely not. But as a leader who's trying to, you know, perhaps overthrow the world, maybe. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, unfortunately, situations like this, you can't snitch, man.
And then he lied when they got there. They're like, "Did you say anything? What did you say to them?" Nothing. I didn't say anything.
Do you think they even believed him? Because I don't know. I was like, yeah, they kind of implied like up until they got to the safe house, and they're like, "Oh, how'd they find our safe house?" But I don't think Gravik believed him the whole time. Yeah. So, you know, took him back out, or took him out back old Yeller style. They took him out back old Yeller style and then just
pop. You'll figure it out. You'll get it right.
There we go. So yeah, again, showing this show is it's dark. It's definitely
not afraid to go dark.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the MCU's most adult shows. And we end the episode on confirmation, you know, bringing up my question from last week, would you smash a Skrull? We know Nick Fury would, because we find out that not only does he have a wife, but his wife is a Skrull. So, you know,
his Skrull wife is the aunt of Will Smith.
Wait, what?
She was one of the aunts on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Like,
she was?
Yeah, she was the youngest one. Remember the one that dated the white man, married the white man?
Oh, that's her? That's the same. Wow, I didn't know that. Okay. Interesting. But yeah, wow, I did not know that. I didn't recognize her at all.
Damn it. We're talking all this. We're not even mentioning the lady's name. The lady's name is Charlaine Woodard. Wait, is she related to Alfrey? No, ain't no way.
Now, come on. This is not Star Wars where every black person is related to each other.
The Woodard is not a super common... Well, is it a common name? Yeah, I just Googled it. There's no
relation. Alfrey is the only Woodard I'm aware of. Although I assume there's more.
And they're both famous? Come on!
But yeah, man. So, Fury smashing a scroll. And, you know, so I feel, you know, less judged for saying that I would smash a scroll. You know, Nick Fury would smash a scroll. You know, ain't no one saying nothing to him. You know? Although I do, and of course, you know, I find it interesting, you know? Keeping it black, you know? He was like, the scroll can transform to anyone. He's like, yo, keep it a sister. Do you think that was a Sam Jackson call?
I think so. I typically think Sam Jackson follows the what's it called? The Denzel Washington model when it comes to love interests. Denzel Washington refuses to be the love interest to a white woman or anyone that's not a sister. So I think being best friends. Yeah, Denzel was on record saying it. He wants to promote black relationships, not just interracial or whatever, but black relationships. That's his experience. So he wants that to be portrayed on screen. So I think Sam Jackson follows the same motto. Except, I think it's just white women because he definitely was married to Selma Hayek in The Hitman's Bodyguard.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot about Hitman's Bodyguard, but yeah. All right. But yeah, man. Did we get the name of his wife?
We did not. Let me see if I see it. I just had it up. Her name is Priscilla.
Priscilla, okay, so she does have a name. So
Priscilla Fury.
What do you think Fury being married to Priscilla, like, what effect do you think that will have on the rest of the story? Because again, this just shows Fury has more, even more of a personal relationship with the Skrulls than we realized.
Well, one, I think this goes back to last episode review. You said when Fury said he knows a lot of Skrulls, or he knows prettier Skrulls than Talos, or better looking Skrulls than Talos, or and Talos wasn't one of them. We now know who he was referring to. You had called that last week. I just think this makes it a lot more complicated for Fury. And I think that's good for the story because we don't want it to just be cut and dry. Oh, he just sees them as alien. Oh, he just sees them as refugees or immigrants and they need to know their place or Talos was out of line or whatever. The fact that Fury is kind of behind enemy lines, so to speak. It's going to be an interesting dynamic how he moves forward with the Skrull problem. And again, if in fact that Gravik is some kind of pseudo son to Fury as well as his wife Priscilla, then that just complicates things even more. And I'm looking forward to seeing how he manages and balances what's going on as it moves forward.
You're just not going to let that theory go.
You are, I mean,
hold on
yeah.
to it. I don't, okay.
Hold on what to I this, okay?
What, why would you want me to hold up? Moving on. What I want to know is, does he have his wife turn into a different woman every night? Or is it?
What is going on?
I'm just kidding.
Why are you
I'm
so curious. Concerned about Fury?
Fury's not specifically, after night special. It's not specifically with Fury. I'm just curious. Because it's like, think about it. If you mess up with a scroll, they can look like anybody. So I'm just curious.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
Sometimes Fury's like, hey, can you look like so-and-so? Can you, you know?
I feel like he would probably drop hints as women he finds beautiful. But he would say, hey, honey,
I need you to turn into Jessica Alba, or hey, honey, turn into Meg Thee Stallion, for example. I think he probably just drops hints, and she's like, okay, well, let me be a little sexier than, you know, my current form and slip into a 30-year-old body. Because can you imagine?
Keep in mind, you know, considering Fury's age, he'd probably say someone more like, hey, turn to Pam Grier, you know.
Oh, no. I was just saying as an example what I would do. So it would be hard for me to tell my wife, hey, honey, I love the base model you chose for yourself. But tonight, can we go to the deluxe version? I want all the bells and whistles.
Version. Okay. So like the same, but she just like enhances certain parts?
Or? Hey, whatever you interpret that to mean. It could be enhancements to her current form, or it could be a whole new form altogether.
Probably do some
shit
like that too. That's crazy.
You said what?
He probably does do some shit like that. But you know what? Do they have children together? That's another possible.
I'm going to guess no. Well, I feel like the physiologies are just too different. But then again,
you never
squirrels
know.
Can change at the molecular level, so it's really hard to. It's hard to say.
Yeah. But yeah, that's how we end the episode on an Otis Redding song as well. Love that song. And yeah, that's it for the episode. That episode for me is a 4 out of 5 as far as rating, you know, if you want to rate it.
Oh, well, yeah, I agree. It's a definitely a solid 4 out of 5. They definitely are picking up momentum. I love that we're seeing Fury's like real personality kind of come through, or whatever Sam Jackson interprets Fury's real personality to be in his mythos. So, yeah, I think this is definitely worthy of a 4 out of 5. And I hope over the next 4 episodes that we have for this series that it just continues to pick up. I'm curious to see how Fury takes control of that old man narrative that they keep trying to force down our throats. Pause.
I wasn't even going to say nothing. I was just going to let that one go. Yeah, I'm loving the show right now. It might take the place of WandaVision as my favorite Marvel show. We'll see how it ends. But yeah. I can't wait for... That's the thing about this show. It's really good because I genuinely can't wait for the next episode. I can't wait to see where the story is going. So that's, I feel like that's the sign of a good show right there.
Absolutely.
So that's the end of the episode. You can follow us anywhere you listen to podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, etc. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Twitch. Follow us on all social media platforms, Twitter for as long as that still exists, Instagram, etc., etc., etc.
And we are newly now on Spill.
Yes. I don't know how widely available it is yet because it is via invitation code, but if you happen to be on Spill, we are on there as well. Same name at Words and Blurs on our platforms. Follow us on Discord join our Discord. I would say follow. I don't know why I say follow. It's join. Join our Discord. Follow us on TikTok. I always forget TikTok. And I said Twitch, right? Streams from Blurs.
Yep.
Follow us on Twitch. Yep.
That was the first one.
That's the first one. All right. That's it. All right, we're out.
We out. Peace.